Welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. We hope you all had a lovely festive break and are feeling motivated for the year ahead. I know I am. Although I must admit my house is looking a little dreary now all the decorations and colourful lights have been taken down. So it's just as well I have Dobby's senior houseplant buyer, Claire Bishop, with me today to give us some ideas on how we can brighten the interior of our homes with beautiful houseplants, which incidentally will help raise our spirits too. Welcome, Claire. Are you feeling happy and positive this January?
Absolutely, Louise. Thanks for having me. Always pleased to talk about all things houseplants.
Yes, me too. Now we have passed the winter solstice, daylight hours are growing a little longer every day, and despite still being in the middle of winter, there are encouraging signs that spring is on the horizon. As there is less to do in the garden this month, I get my horticultural fix through indoor plants, which I have in little groups around the house. Today, I'm going to pick Claire's brains about which plants suit different locations in the home, because when people invest in houseplants, it's so important to match each plant to the environment it's going to live in. While some are tough and unfussy, there are others with a more diva-ish nature that will sulk if they aren't given the right conditions. Of all the rooms in the house, the living room is perhaps the one where plants may be appreciated the most. But as with all rooms, there may be bright and shady areas or hot spots near radiators to consider. So let's get started, Claire. Could you give us a rundown on what we should be looking for when buying houseplants for our living rooms?
For your living room, really, you've got to think about where's the space that your plant is going to live in. It's fine to buy a plant and then force it into the space. However, they like certain conditions. So if you have something with a little bit more shade, a slightly darker corner, you want a really big leafed dark foliage plant, because they'll absorb the light that is available even in the darker corner. So great for this is a Monstera, a cheese plant. We're seeing lots of people growing these now, and because you get fast results from them, and they've got a beautiful statement leaf as well and give you that lovely green glossy shine even in the darkest corner. If you want something with a little bit more interest, you can go for Spathiphylliums, which are peace lilies, which have a lovely white flower that shoots out. They can also tolerate darker corners. However, to get them to reflower, you want to give them that little bit of light. And a good thing about your Spathiphylliums is they are an air purifier, so they absorb the toxins in the air and therefore purify your air for you. So they're giving you an actual health benefit as well as having them as something just to look at.
And what about any sort of flowering plants? Are you thinking of flowering plants for the winter? Or, I mean, obviously we've just had our whole rush of Christmas flowering plants, but what about ones that might flower in the spring?
So there's a lot of actual flowering plants that are in their natural season in the winter, orchids in particular, with cymbidiums and all different types. And they come in all different shapes and sizes, and they're really quite low maintenance, but they have really long flowering periods. So it's really an ideal flowering plant for the beginner. Some flowering plants can be a bit tricky to get them to reflower, but the good thing with an orchid, you can see 3 to 6 months of flowers if you're keeping it misted to keep the humidity up and giving it little water. Really they're quite happy and will reward you with long lasting flowers.
That's such good value for money, 3 to 6 months, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it injects just a little pop of colour in the corner or wherever you put it.
Exactly. I tend to keep orchids. Some of them I'll take the sticks out and so they go much more natural. They tend to drape and hang, and they're really beautiful in a group. If you have 3 different types, 3 different colours, it gives you a really statement piece in your living room.
Do you know, I didn't know you could take the stick out. I thought if you took the stick out, it would actually snap, but it's fine to do that.
Yeah, as you get a new flower shoot, they're very soft and you can really shape them to whichever shape.
Yes.
That's when we see lots of different shapes in trained orchids. However,
yes,
if you take them out, they just grow naturally like they would and tend to trail. So they're really great to put in a hanging basket or macrame, that type of thing.
Wow, much better than staking it up all the time, because sometimes when you stake them, the weight of it makes the whole pot fall over. So,
exactly.
Yes, that sounds like a brilliant idea. And Claire, I'd like to get a few more houseplants in my bathroom. I've actually got quite a nice light and airy bathroom, but I appreciate that everybody doesn't always have that in their bathrooms. Sometimes they have a very shady space, or sometimes there's no natural light at all. And also the atmosphere can go from quite steamy to cool. So what sort of houseplants would be great for making a little sort of mini rainforest in the bathroom?
I think the first and main thought are ferns. They're very much, they like the humidity. They like to be kept quite moist, so daily showering will help keep that plant alive. They again come in different shapes, sizes, trailing. Can be quite interesting as well, but they do like humidity, so they like misted, and which is why they're ideal for a bathroom. If you don't have any light in your bathroom, a good plant would be a Sansevieria, so a snake plant. Again, all different shapes and sizes. They can be slow growing, so if you don't have much space, you can just put them on your windowsill. They come in green, variegated, like I say, all different shapes, sizes and textures. They're quite an interesting plant and pretty much hard to kill.
Absolutely. And they like high humidity, I think, so that's also good for a
they do indeed.
Place where you're showering and having a hot bath.
Yep, they'll absorb the water through their leaves, really. There'll be no need for actually watering the compost.
And I've got a peace lily in there, which is not doing very well. There must be something I'm doing wrong with it. Is it quite a temperamental plant or...?
It can be. So it can be environment. So if it's not getting enough light, it won't shoot up new flowers. It can also be lack of nutrients. So it's maybe needing a feed boost, which will help.
Yes.
So plants naturally grow from March to September. So it may be worth waiting until March, giving it a real boost of a good nutrient feed. And even moving it to a little bit of light, then you could see results in it shooting up new flowers.
I think I possibly overwatered it. I think that's my mistake.
I think they droop very quickly, and I think it is a mistake that people then pour lots of water in thinking it's on its last legs. It's really not. It's just needing to absorb a bit of water into its leaves. So,
and that's the worst thing you can do, isn't it?
Yeah.
The addition of houseplants in an office environment is thought to increase productivity and reduce stress for employees. Which indoor plants would you recommend growing in air-conditioned offices? Bearing in mind, regular watering may be an issue when staff are on holiday.
So we've seen this in our office. We have office plants, and obviously not always is there someone there to water them, and the regime isn't as strict as maybe it could be. So we use ZZ plants, so Zamaculus, which are great because they're so hardy and they really can take quite a bit of neglect. We have Sansevieria, again snake plants, because they really don't need much water, and they'll retain the water into their fleshy stems and then survive, really water themselves more than anything. So it's a really good option to have. Monsteras are great if you have the space, because they'll give you that impact very, very quickly. And also Kentia palms, unless they're going to be no one there to water for a long time, they will survive also with a light mist and a weekly water. They'll be quite happy.
Yes, they really are lovely to look at. But you can also get like watering mats you can put things on if people are going to be away for a long time, or a little glass bobble with water in the top that filters the water through very slowly. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, certainly. You can use the sort of self-watering systems or the drip feeds as well. They're really good just for sort of short times. You don't have to worry about them unless you have someone you can call in as your part-time plant babysitter that you trust with your collection of plants. it's quite nice to, you know, have someone that you can, especially the amount of people that have large collections now.
Absolutely.
I know my mum gets strict instructions when I go away.
Yes, to do them all in the right, water them all at the right time. And Claire, indoor plants naturally, you mentioned this, naturally filter toxins from the atmosphere. So really no home, whatever its size, should be without them. But obviously there's going to be challenges for people who've got a limited space. Would you recommend, you know, small plants like cactus or succulents for people with little space to display them?
Yeah, sure. I think the perfect spot for smaller plants is on a shelf or a windowsill. Obviously, if you have cats or pets or young children, you've got to watch windowsills. But higher up shelves, you could have lots of multiple little plants in different pots to give you a nice little statement. Almost feel like you have a little shelf jungle, which is quite nice. Terrariums are great as well, that you can plant lots of things just in one container of glass, so that they grow really nicely, but also they give you a little statement piece as well.
Yes, they look lovely in the home decorations. And I just think that houseplants really connect us with the natural world during the darkest, coldest period of the year. So do you think this could be one of the reasons they're so beneficial for our mental well-being?
Absolutely. I think anything you can nurture and care for almost pays back in that same feeling to yourself. When you have successes, it makes you happy. You're going to have plants that aren't going to thrive like you would, but you learn from every plant. And I think it's part of the pleasure of keeping a plant, where they thrive, where they maybe need to move, because you can see the signs of them becoming a little bit sad. It's almost that glory of when you get a new flower, a new leaf.
And when you talk about a new leaf or a new flower, I think the house plant that I've got that's given me the most pleasure is Medinilla magnifica, which is quite a kind of tropical looking plant. And it was given to me as a present about 3 years ago, and it has these wonderful dangling pink flowers. And when the pink flowers come to the end of their beauty, as they sort of elongate a little bit, and they have these little tiny seeds inside, all the seeds come out everywhere. I'd quite like to try and propagate them, actually, but then you cut them off. And amazingly, for 3 years, I've had new flowers every single year. It's unbelievably healthy, and all I've done is water it. It's in a lovely light position, I must say, and I've given it a little bit of a feed, I think, every couple of weeks during the summer growing season. And it's just so productive. It's wonderful. And it's, at the moment, it's produced a whole lot of new foliage, so it's still looking really, really healthy. So I'm hoping we're going to get, you know, lots of flowers this spring. So that's a lovely flower that has glossy, dark green leaves all year round, and it has the bonus of these beautiful flowers.
Yeah, it certainly is a fabulous statement plant. And in the complimentary pot, there's no better centrepiece than Medinilla.
So Claire, if people want to have a lovely new statement plant in their house, what sort of new trends and themes are Dobby's showcasing this season for houseplants?
So it's really a continuation in foliage. I think people have started with smaller foliage and now are collecting and going larger. But within foliage, there's so many interesting shapes and textures and colours that are available. If we take calatheas, known as prayer plant or peacock plant, they're interesting because they move during the day. They capture the light during the day, so they'll open up, and in the evening they close up. So you can actually physically see them move, which is an interesting part of the plant. They're an air purifier, so another interesting part of the plant, but they have so many different textures and tones. There's one known, it's the Calathea insignis, known as the rattlesnake, and it's very much got the shape and a pattern of a rattlesnake's tail. It's really interesting. There's Orbifolia, which is a really large, wide leaf, really quite pale green with darker stripes. So there's lots of different colours available. It is one of my favourite plants. I think your collection never ends with it, because there's so many different varieties becoming available as they bring in new strains and crossbreeds. It's certainly something that's going to continue into this year. We also are seeing a resurgence on flowering, particularly as people become more confident with their plants, and flowering is the next stage. But greenery, all shades of greenery, can still just be greenery. You need that vibrant pop of colour in. So with orchids, you get that for sure. They come in purples and pinks, also yellow, and even just a group of white against green foliage is very striking in your home. So you can really pick a flowering plant to match in with your foliage, to match your decor. Houseplants have become very much part of home decor now. It's not a plant and your decorations. They merge, and you almost decorate your home and have your plant in mind, or your decor in mind. So it really does become part of the scene.
And actually, who needs flowering plants, though? Because foliage plants, as you were just saying, you can have them in bronzes and yellows and acid sort of colours, and lime greens and fresh green foliage, and all sorts of different copper-coloured tones. You can make a really beautiful collection just with foliage.
Exactly. You know, if you go through the seasons, everyone's favourite season outside is fall, because autumn, because of those colour and
warmth.
Change. Yes, but you get that in plants also. In spring,
yeah,
You'll have your pink leaves. In the summer, it goes into hot reds with your bromeliads and urn plants. So there's really foliage plants that take you through the colours of the season, adds flowering wood. So it really depends on your preference. I do have a lot more foliage than flowering. However, I have a lot of orchids, because they're easy to care for and they're so striking. So I think we're going to see a big resurgence in that for the sort of spring into summer.
Oh, I hope so. And the Pantone colour of the year is very Perry, a sort of lovely sort of silvery purplish sort of tone. It's difficult to describe when you're talking about it, but it is a beautiful colour. How is that going to affect plant sales?
I think we have in plants not many naturally blue flowers or purple flowers, more in the garden than there is in houseplants. However, there is a few, or are a few. There is Achimia, Blue Rain, which is a bromeliad, and it has a beautiful fluorescent spike of bright bluey purple with almost pink to red tones on it.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about now.
So striking.
It looks almost like it's sort of false, to be quite honest. It's just so amazingly bright.
Yep, and they're currently in season just now, but they run through to the summer as well, and really, really stunning. And thinking on traditional flowering that, you know, we've maybe had previously, our Streptocarpus.
Yes.
Very much in that that beautiful rich violet tone, and also St. Paulia's African violets. So it's interesting that a really modern new Pantone, we're actually going back to traditional plants as well to give us that colour tone. So certainly we will look at pulling together so that people get ideas of how they can use the Pantone of the year, but in their houseplants as well.
Yes, and Streptocarpus was quite an old-fashioned kind of plant. It used to be everywhere, didn't it? And it sort of went out of favour, I don't know why. And now it's definitely back because I've seen them everywhere and they're so easy to look after.
We have a fabulous grower in Wales who grows our Streptocarpus, so UK grown, and they win gold at Chelsea every year. So really proud that they are available in our centres.
And Claire, before we finish, could you please share some advice on caring for houseplants during the winter, how to feed them and water them and what we should be doing in general?
So with houseplants in January, really you want to be looking at how they're coping with the winter. So if they're losing some leaves, we want to be taking off any dead and degrading leaves, any yellowing leaves, so that pushes all the nutrients back towards the healthy part of the plant. Thinking about reducing watering. As they start to go into a growth spurt again as spring comes, you want to increase the watering and start feeding again so that the plants can absorb all the nutrients and push all those towards the growing part of the plant and obviously thrive and give you the success that you're looking for in your new plant growth.
Oh, Claire, thank you so much. As usual, you're just full of advice and full of ideas for us. And so I think we're all really enthused by houseplants for the darkest, coldest month of the year.
Absolutely. There's always a plan to brighten your day.
Yeah, there is, Claire. Thank you so much. And I hope we've inspired you to go green this January and brighten your home and your mood with some carefully chosen houseplants. Be sure to visit Dobby's website at dobbys.com and their social media channels, where you will find loads of tips and advice for your garden and home. And stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming soon.